My best friend growing up was Billy Matheny. And Billy and I were pretty much the same age. Our parents were good friends. We all attended the Church of Christ together. And I remember spending a lot of time playing with Billy. And I don't remember a lot about my childhood, but I remember some events with Billy that I don't remember other times. So when my parents decided to move to Kansas City, when I was 12, it was hard for me to leave Billy. But you know, being 12 years old, you make friends, new friends, pretty easy. So as the years went by, I sort of lost that identity with Billy as my best friend. After 30 years of living in Kansas City, I was going to make a trip to Dallas to attend a conference down there, and I knew Billy lived in the suburbs of Dallas, so I called him up. I said, "Billy, I'd like to have dinner with you and your family and catch up on the last 30 years. So we met at an Italian restaurant and had a good evening, met his wife, his son, and his daughter. We tried to piece together some of those childhood memories and catch up on the 30 years that had transpired. But after I left, I realized that there was a real difference between what Billy and I once had and what we now have. Because we really weren't good friends. We weren't best friends. We weren't even good friends. You might say that we were just acquaintances. As Billy and I had matured, we'd grown apart. One thing is because we had not kept in communication with each other, hadn't seen each other for 30 years. And so as time passed, we lost that identity of good friends, best friends, or even friends. Well, I relate that story to you because I think it has a lot of parallels with you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ and with our relationship to the Lord. Today we're going to look at what does it take to be a best friend? And to explore the idea that Jesus really wants to be your best friend. And it doesn't matter who in this life is your friend, best friend, or just even acquaintances, because we always have a best friend, and that's Jesus Christ. I've listed some basic things that I think we all need or want in friends. And we'll go through those this morning. The first one is, I think we all want friends to understand who we are. You know, that's a real difficult thing for me because I'm a very private person. And so I'm not going to share who I am with you. So you probably get the feeling that I don't want to be your friend. Or you might interpret that as me being standoffish, having a big ego, or thinking that I'm better than you. You might interpret that 100 different ways. But the truth is, I just can't share myself with you. So I want my friends to understand. I want you to understand that I'm not the person I'd like to be with you as a friend. The second thing is, I think we all want people to recognize us, to recognize our accomplishments, to praise us. We want them to appreciate us. One of the biggest reasons that people leave employers is because they don't get the recognition that they feel they deserve. They feel like they're doing a good job and the employer doesn't say that, and so they leave that job. Recognition or praise really has to be a genuine thing. People can spot a phony. And so when we give that praise, it really needs to be genuine. But one of the greatest joys, I think, for people is to have that recognition. people love to hear their own name, and they love that process of getting praise from other people. So I think if we're going to be a friend, we would want to give people recognition. The third quality we want and need in a friend is forgiveness. There's going to be lots of times that we mess up. And we want friends that will understand that, recognize who we really are, and forgive us for those mistakes. None of us are perfect. But Matthew 6:12 says that God is going to forgive us like we forgive others. So I think forgiveness is going to be an attribute that we would want in our friends. And fourth, we want friends who encourage us. If you're like me, you like to hang around people who build you up instead of tear you down. We don't want to hang around people who are always putting us down, saying negative things about us, criticizing us, even if it's well-intentioned. A negative thought can be a dangerous thing. I heard this saying that goes like this. I am not who I think I am. I am not who you think I am. I am who I think you think I am. And what that says is that we get impressions of who we are by what other people tell us they think we are. So parents, when you tell your children that they're stupid, that's a dangerous thing. And friend, when you come and tell me that I'm wrong, that's a dangerous thing. Spouses, we want to build each other up, encourage and lift each other up. So we want friends who are going to encourage. I'm sure you could list a lot of other qualities, but those were some that I got out of studying John the 15th chapter. And I'd like for you to turn there. John 15. This morning, we want to consider how Jesus fulfills all of these qualities as our friend. You know, he's chosen you to be his friend. It was his choice. And he does these things so wonderfully, so much better than anyone we could meet here on earth. So in John the 15th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." So the first principle Jesus is teaching here to having good relationships is that we have to understand this relationship process. He loves us just the way his Father loved him. And his Father loved him like a son. His father's love was everlasting. It was constant, unchangeable. The love that will last forever. And Christ's love is the same towards us, like a man who loves his bride or a father who loves his child. He loves and understands us just as we would family members. But with that in mind, he has the following exhortation. Continue in my love. Meaning, we should continue to believe and rely on his love. We need to continue to honor and value his friendship and his love. We need to continue to imitate his love. We need to continue to remember how precious his love is to us. And we need to continue to enjoy his love. And if we do, we'll understand the principle in verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. The secret to remaining in the love of Christ is to be obedient to his commands. The same is true of Jesus when he was on earth. He remained in the love of his Father because he was obedient to his Father. Jesus recognized his responsibility in that relationship to his Father, and we need to realize that responsibility as well. Our relationship with the Lord is based on our obedience to the Lord. And then in verse 11, he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. To have these kinds of relationships of best friends, we need to understand that joy comes from our obedience to the Lord's commands. If you lack joy, then perhaps we lack that relationship that we should have with each other and with the Lord. In verse 12, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This isn't just a good idea. This is a command. My command is that you love each other. John 13, beginning with verse 34, it says, a new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Best friends love what the other person loves. If I could paraphrase this verse a little bit, Jesus is saying, I have told you that obedience will keep you in my love. I told you this to make you completely happy as I am happy. Just as I obeyed my Father, you must obey my commands to be happy. So I tell you to love each other as I have loved you. In other words, we're going to love the same people that Jesus loves. That's each other. The people here. We're going to love doing the same things that Jesus would love doing if he were here. We're going to love being the same places that Jesus would love. We will desire the same things that he would desire. That's what having that kind of relationship with another person is. We want to do what they want to do. So, if we love somebody, if we have that kind of friendship relationship, then we're going to be able to recognize what will please them, and we're willing to do that. But you have to ask yourself, what would you do for a friend? Jesus said, I command you to love each other as I have loved you, and the greatest thing that you can do to show your love is to die for your friend. That sounds a little drastic, but what his disciples didn't know is that within a few hours of him making that statement, he's going to prove his love by dying on the cross. So he's illustrating to them before that happens that the greatest thing that we can do for the person that we love is to give of ourselves completely. What Jesus is saying here is that if we truly love someone, if we truly want that kind of friendship relationship, that we're going to put that love into action. That kind of a friendship isn't a passive, flaccid, limp, lifeless type of relationship. It's something that's active. It's something that's ongoing and exuberant when we want to have that kind of relationship with someone else, to the point of where we'd be willing to lay down our life or simply lay down our wishes for the other person. You know, Jesus' life wasn't a common one. It's not like he was you and I. Although he was human, he was the Son of God. He left all of that glory to come down here. So his death has a greater significance than if you and I were to die for a friend. The other thing is that his dying on the cross was a voluntary thing. And that's why he says, I chose you as my friend. It was his decision. It was his resolve to make you his friend, to make that relationship happen. Jackie Robinson was the first black baseball player playing in the major leagues. And every place Jackie Robinson went, they would boo him because of his color. He was playing in Brooklyn at his hometown one time, and he made a mistake playing second base. And the crowd just went wild, booing him for his mistake. Well, the shortstop was Pee Wee Reese, a white player. And so he walked over to Jackie Robinson and put his arm around him. And Jackie Robinson later said that saved his career. That act of friendship of that white player putting his arms around his shoulders. You know, Jesus considers you his friend, and he's willing to put his arm around your shoulder anytime you need it. He forgives your shortcomings. He recognizes your needs. He understands our wants. And he's already demonstrated his love and his friendship by dying on the cross. So, if we're going to be friends, we need to understand that we're going to do special things for our friends. In verse 14, Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." So the character of friends is that we're willing to do what our friends ask. Jesus has shown he's our friend by dying on the cross. Now, how are we going to demonstrate our friendship to him? You know, this command to obey his commands is not putting us in a position where we should feel like servants to him. That's not what friends are. But we should feel like we want to fulfill his desires and his wishes. Interesting class this morning in the comments about, you know, the purpose of the contribution or how we should approach that fits right in this. It's all about how we want to please the other person and how we want to fulfill his desires that he makes of us. So, what would you feel comfortable about revealing to a friend? Jesus says in verse 15, servants don't know what their master is doing, and so I don't speak to you as my servants. I speak to you as my friends, and I have told you everything that my Father has told me. So, although the Scripture encourages us to develop servant hearts willing to serve others, it certainly doesn't put us in that position when we think of ourselves as being friends of Christ. We never have to be in that position where we fear our master, where we're not certain about how he feels, where we're not really confident in that relationship, because we are friends. He is our friend. If you think about your careers, it's almost a day-to-day thing where you really don't know how that relationship is. I mean, tomorrow you could be without a job, right? You never have that confidence that that you know what tomorrow's going to bring when it comes to a career or a friendship. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring. So unlike servants on earth with employers or friends or whatever, we can have a confidence that we can't have with anyone else here on earth. We can depend on him to encourage us, to forgive us, to recognize our needs, and to understand who we are and what we need to develop and grow in that relationship. Jesus also implies in verse 17 that when you and I are friends, that we should confide in each other. We should be able to talk to each other openly. We should be vulnerable to each other. That we should be transparent to each other. He says, I don't talk to you like servants. I talk to you like those who would work with me or work for me. He says, I talk to you as a friend. I talk to you as those who I would really love. I share my thoughts and my feelings openly. I want to be your friend. Wouldn't it be nice if we felt that way with each other? Well, that's what he commands us to do. Verse 16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Jesus shows the stability of that relationship that we have with him because it really originated with him and not with us. He chose us to be his friends. He chose us in spite of our weaknesses. He chose us in spite of our shortcomings. He chose us in spite of the fact that we had never demonstrated any love to him. He says, this is my command, love each other. He started this passage in the 15th chapter of John by saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is our best friend, a truer friend than we can ever have on earth. And without him, we really have no chance of being successful. We have really no chance of accomplishing what he created us to accomplish. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Jesus said, these things I command, that you love each other, that you support each other, that you encourage each other, that you forgive each other, that you recognize the needs of each other. The mutual love between Christians should be a natural thing. After all, we do have common interests and common goals to conform our lives to the image of Christ. If you're in the audience today and you are not a part of that family, then I want you to realize two things. First, God loved you before you even knew about his love. He said, behold, I stand at your heart's door and I knock. He's there to put his arm around your shoulder this morning to support you, to encourage you. He offers him his friendship to you. And the second thing that you need to understand is that even though he's standing there knocking, you're the one that has to open the door. You're the one that has to accept that friendship. You're the one that has to accept him as your Savior. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that's our Savior." I know a lot of people are here today who believe in God. I know that they believe that that Jesus was the Son of God and that he died for their sins. They believe all these things, but they just don't have that personal relationship with the Lord. So Jesus wants you to accept that offer of friendship today. And we offer you that opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.